Saturdays.
Cam Fraser, men's sex coach / sexologist, cam-fraser.com and Cam Fraser on Instagram. Hello, how are you, Cam Fraser?
Good, thanks, mate. Thanks for having me back.
No worries. P.S., by the way, I don't mean to get too into my nitty-gritty of the weekend, but I did film a little sex tape. Get around me. 12 minutes of good gear, man. 12 minutes of real good gear. And unfortunately, it almost come unstuck. They always say, hey, make sure that, you know, the sex tape never sees the light of day. You know, don't upload it to the cloud. Never show anyone the sex tape. All very responsible things. And then today, someone at work had to try and teach me how to change my personal Instagram account to the show Instagram account. And I almost accidentally showed his weary eyes to the 12 minutes of goodness, but I did not. I thought of my feet. I then quickly took like 10 or 11 photos of the ground. So then, like, you know, when you go to upload a photo on Instagram or Facebook, it comes up with your last 10 photos to choose from.
Yep.
Just all floor stuff. He thought I was a weird guy with a floor fetish.
So we won't be graced with a Danny Lakey sex tape anytime soon.
No, not unless someone knows my username, password, and my Apple ID and has access to all my cloudware and phone. Nevertheless, let's talk about something you posted on your Instagram a couple of days ago, and I thought it was a really cool quote. It says, if every time we're self-pleasuring and pornography is involved, it's being overused. What? Hang on a second. I fall into that bracket. Am I overusing pornography, Cam Fraser?
Well, this is a delicate conversation, and a lot of people have emotional responses to the topic of pornography, but when I usually talk about porn, I'm referring to firstly, ethical porn, right? And that's a whole different type of conversation. But for the most part, if we're finding it difficult to self-pleasure, right, be with ourselves, masturbate, experience arousal in our own body without an external stimulus like porn, right, if we're becoming reliant on it in order to feel arousal, then I'm, you know, inclined to say that you're probably overusing it, and it's probably become something that maybe needs to have a little bit of work done on.
Hmm. How come, I mean, like anything, sorry, let me start again. Poisonous thing, alcohol, drugs, whatever. If you use it too much, it's a big problem. If you use alcohol in moderation, it's okay and can be a very positive thing, much like many other things. So many people are using porn. So many people consume porn. What do you think is the underlying thing that we're missing in our lives? Because clearly it's no accident that a lot of people, the vast majority, enjoy porn and take in a lot of porn. How did that happen, do you think?
Well, I think we've got to acknowledge that we're sexual beings. You know, the majority of us want sex, we desire pleasure, like we have feelings of arousal. And pornography, regardless of what pornography it might be, but, you know, typically when we talk about, you know, people that are using porn a lot, we're talking about mainstream kind of your tube site porn that's very easily accessible. That fills a very strong need that a lot of us have very, very quickly. So instead of, you know, we can kind of think of it in relation to having sex with a partner. You know, we don't have to worry about foreplay. We don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing. We don't have to worry about meeting their needs, right? The pornography that we access online is right there at the tip of our fingers. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's become very prevalent, is because this deep-seated need that we have to express and experience our sexuality, and the, you know, the accessibility and the anonymity and the affordability of a lot of online porn.
Well, porn is very fun and it is very easy, and there's usually a happy ending at the end of it. What if you say that you shouldn't use porn every single time? If you're using pornography every time you're self-pleasuring, it's being overused. What are alternatives when you're self-pleasuring? Are you talking as simple as just lying there and imagining something else, or thinking of nothing at all, being mindful when you're self-pleasuring, or finding a partner? What are the alternatives to the porn?
Right. So this is like where we can start to lean on our curiosity a little bit here. And my opinion is variety is the spice of life, and it's also the spice of our sex lives as well. So if we're going through the motions and porn's just kind of always there and we're not really exploring the rest of our kind of sexual repertoire, then that's where I encourage people to start thinking about alternative ways. And some of those alternative ways could be like you just shared, visualizing, using your imagination, exploring, you know, those kind of images that you might have in your head about fantasies. That's definitely one way. Another way could be just changing the way that you're using the porn as well, right? So a lot of times when we talk about masturbation and porn, the image that pops into people's heads is sitting on a, you know, an office chair, maybe hunched in front of a computer, cock in one hand, mouse in the other, scrolling through their favorite website. And that's not a very conducive way for, you know, experiencing pleasure throughout your whole body. And it becomes very closed down and very stagnant and stationary. So one alternative way is standing up. You know, standing up when you're using porn, standing up when you're masturbating, even changing the way you're consuming porn from it being a visual stimulus to, can you close the laptop down, plug your headphones in, and listen to the porn that you're using and get stimulated in a different way. So reframing the way that we're using porn from being like this thing that we just go through the motions with to a tool that we can use in certain ways to amplify our arousal and elicit certain sensations is what I think is really important.
I have just drawn up a small timetable of what I shall be doing week to week from now. So Monday will be my normal porn. Tuesday, I will just look at a white wall and try and concentrate on my body so I have no visual stimuli. Porn on a very low brightness on Wednesday. Just looking at myself in the mirror on Thursday. Friday, thinking about past exes and former flames. Saturday, just listening to porn. And Sunday, a Thai massage with a happy ending. Is this a good balance?
Yeah, man, I think that's a great balance. Like one of my rules of thumb is if you're masturbating, however long, it could be five times a week or it could be for a one-hour session, using porn about 20% of the time is my general rule of thumb. So if it's five times a week, then using porn once in those five times. If you're masturbating for an hour, then using porn for like 12 minutes out of that hour is typically how I frame a healthy balance of porn in your kind of repertoire of sexual experiences.
Okay, I'm doing a bit of quick maths here. I think mine is still up around the 37 to 40% mark, so I'll just have to do a couple of tweaks. It has also come to my attention, Cam Fraser, that the word taint band-aid is now a thing. I'll let you explain, considering I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, man, it's a big shout out to Jeff Bennett at Morari Medical for the taint band-aid, which is a device that can be stuck like a band-aid to your taint, and it sends electro stimulation signals into the pudendal nerve, which is a nerve that mediates or is responsible for the ejaculation reflex, and actually slows down those signals so that you can last longer when you're being sexual.
Wow. And shout out to Jeff as well for not calling it the gooch bandage, which is probably what I would go after. Now, it is the gooch that we talk about. That is the taint. That's the perineum. Is that what we're talking about?
The place in between your genitals and your anus, that is the perfect spot.
Okay, and talk to me about the stickiness and the adhesive on this taint band-aid, because I'm imagining more of like a Nicorette patch sort of thing. Easy to take on, easy to take off.
So from what I understand, from what Jeff's told me, is they've developed a special gel that acts as an adherent that can get a little bit wet and not lose its stickiness, because obviously there's going to be some fluids and some moisture and some juices flowing down there. When you want to take the gel off, it kind of peels off, and then you just wipe it off with another specific little wipe that they give you as well. And then you reapply the gel if you want to use it again, and it's an ongoing thing.
Love that. Love that for the taint band-aid. Very awkward if you lose the taint band-aid mid-sex and afterwards you go, oh, have you seen my taint band-aid, babes? Taint band-aid, looking through the pillows and everything. Electrostimulation, is this the closest or the most promising thing we've got? Because there used to be all the gels, wasn't it? Like the gum and the premature ejaculation creams and whatnot. So the taint band-aid seems the goods.
Yeah, well, we've been using electrostimulation like TENS machines and other types of stuff to deal with chronic pain and other ailments, and kind of wiring or redirecting or slowing down, for want of a better word, those nervous system signals. And this is the first time we've actually started to use it in this direct capacity. So it's pretty revolutionary in terms of the way that we're managing erectile dysfunction. Nothing else has really targeted the nervous system before. This is the first time we're applying electrostimulation in this way. So it's pretty exciting. And Jeff has shared some behind the scenes research with me about guys who are lasting longer. You know, he's an older gentleman. He said that he's used it himself and found that it really works. So all these reports are coming back saying that it does work, and that it's safe as well. That's another big thing that he gets asked a lot is shooting electricity and electrofrequency into our taint a safe thing? And based on the data and the research that he's done, it is quite safe. Like I said, we've been using it in other areas of the body before. So it's a, yeah, it's a pretty interesting and fascinating new little device that's actually not on the market yet. It's still going through some brandings. It's actually not officially called the Taint Band-Aid, but it's in the running, I think, that name.
Yeah, nice. And shout out to all the listeners who are into the ElectroStim, the Electricity Committee. Always good fun. How much electronic stimulation is there? Just a slight tingle, not enough to even feel it, or enough to go, yeah, easy that way, easy that way.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's it uses a lower amplitude or a lower frequency. I'm not sure that the technical term is for it, but it's different from a TENS machine. So the TENS machine makes you kind of feel that stimulation and makes you get a little bit more aroused, maybe a little bit heightened. I've used the TENS machine sexually before, so I know what that feels like. But the way that the Taint Band-Aid uses electro frequency is so that you don't feel anything, right? So it dulls the sensations a little bit. So it's using it in a slightly different way than we have before. And what the report's coming back is guys are having stronger orgasms as well because of the delayed response. It prolongs and creates this kind of diffuse feeling of that orgasm as well.
Wow. I've used the electro stim machines as well, but more for radio pranks, and it did not end well. Let's just say I had too much chili scrambled over the weekend, and it ended in tears with a stomach ache and a big cleanup, Cam Fraser. Big cleanup. That's promising news for guys all over the place. I look forward to seeing those developments with the Taint Band-Aid. Patent pending. Patent pending. Again, Fraser, always up with the latest, helping men along the way, men's sex coach / sexologist. If you want Cam Fraser's help and advice, Cam Fraser on Instagram and cam-fraser.com.
Thanks very much, man.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.